Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate. Give you a little sing-song there.
You're in a musical mood. Today we're talking about minute 193 of part 6, Something Darker. And it's going to start with the parademons searching for Batman now that the Flying Fox has crash-landed in Pejornov. And then the minute is going to end with Batman driving through enemy fire within his Batmobile. So in this minute, we have the Batmobile.
Batmobile minute.
It really is.
Take two. Well, I'm pretty sure we already called an episode Batmobile minute.
Well, we had a whole Batmobile week in Dawn of Justice minute, and we have 3 minutes here of Batmobile action, and I think we get a bit more Batmobile next week. So it is another big Batmobile sequence that Zack Snyder gets to do. Yeah. This time it's more Justice League Batman Batmobile, as we'll talk about. But yeah, it's what I really look forward about talking today is comparing, you know, what we saw in Dawn of Justice with the warehouse, with the dock scene, right, with the Batmobile and at the docks with the white Portuguese, and
yes,
John Corbin, who was like he wasn't John Corbin, but he kind of was because it was about Kryptonite and he was a scientist. But then
he was John Corbin.
Yeah.
He was 100% John Corbin. We debunked that.
We talked about it, yeah, but now the casting says scientist or island scientist is his name now. But it's like, I think you were supposed to be like a Metallo type person, right? But yes. So, to kick this minute off, we have the parademons, right? They're breaking in. They're getting their little grubby fingers inside this Flying Fox. And then, just like in Dawn of Justice, we have the Batmobile facing towards the camera, high beams go on, and that's similar to the entrance of the Batmobile in Dawn of Justice, except this time, instead of the Batmobile driving straight forward, it just starts shooting. He just starts shooting every bullet he has,
yeah,
at these parademons. Which is a wild choice for Batman. I mean, if only he did that in Dawn of Justice, right? He wouldn't have to do a whole car chase. He would have just shot everyone instead of T-boning them. And then just take the kryptonite and go home. Like, then you wouldn't have lost it. But we don't shoot humans. We can shoot parademons instead. So go you, Batman. Figuring it out. That it's okay to shoot guns? Question mark? It is a wild choice that this Batmobile is just like armed to the teeth and just lets loose. So this is a fully weaponized Batmobile. It'll just start mowing down parademons. And then this whole kind of chase sequence starts with the parademons kind of attacking the front of the Batmobile, but then also trying to come up from behind it and kind of force this Batmobile to crash. Nate, what's your thoughts on this minute here?
It's fine. It's a decent Batmobile minute. I'm trying to think of like what other Batmobile tropes could have been here but aren't. But I think they got like the main ones, and it's really like the high beams turning on and like fire coming out of the back.
Yeah,
you get like two tropes for the Batmobile. You just got to turn the high beams on, you know, front facing, so the people get freaked out. They also did it in the Batman when he's got the cool supercar or yeah, muscle car, whatever you want to call it. So you just got high beams and rear jet fuselage.
Mm-hmm. Gotta have like the. All Batmobiles always have like, we gotta show that the Batmobile has a bunch of gadgets of its own that it can do. And this one is just like, we've just put a bunch of weapons on it.
Yeah. And that makes sense to me, coming from this universe and coming from a Batman who has fought these bugs before, the parademons, and he's like, okay, well, take out the oil slick because I need more room for my 50 caliber bullets or something, you know? Like, yeah. I get it. And also, I don't think any of the other Batmobile gadgets would even, like, come into play in this scenario. Dropping tacks or anything. Nope, don't need those. Or, like, the ball spike balls. You don't need those. You don't need an oil slick. Don't need smoke screen. Now I'm just thinking, like, Speed Racer stuff, Mach 5.
Well, yeah, very, very, very similar. Yeah. It's all anti-air because they're all flying. And, you know, we had the Flying Fox. So it's not like he's going to now use the Batwing. So there's a missed opportunity for air-to-air combat. So, yeah, he's got a couple guns here. He's got kind of like a Gundam would. He's got, like, it looks like on the Batmobile that he's got, like, two turrets on it, right?
Yeah.
For lack of better terms, there's, like, two big guns on there. But there's also small guns, right? Little kind of, like, rifle guns, automatic assault rifle type parts on here. So, on one side, which would be on the passenger side, we have, like, what is kind of like a Gatling gun. So it's a GAU-19.
Okay, so I don't know if you've seen on my screen. I've been trying to look up the specific armaments that this Batmobile has. I'm like, what is the gun size? What are those barrels? And what kind of ammunition does he have to be carrying on this thing?
Okay, so when
you got it?
especially for movies by minutes, there's obviously IMDb is great for cast and crew and people who worked on the movie. But then there's also the vehicle one. There's IMDb for cars,
yeah,
which helps a lot when we're talking about like what kind of Mercedes is in some of these minutes. And then there's the IMFDB, which is the Internet Movie Firearms Database.
That's the one I remember pulling up before in previous shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got a Gatling gun on the passenger side. Typical minigun, Gatling gun, whatever you want to call it. It rotates, triple barrel. Shoots a bunch of 50 caliber bullets. And then on the, I guess it's like on the back or like on the top of the car. I'd have to take another look at the Batmobile, but there's like a straight up cannon, like Gundam cannon. It's a 40 millimeter anti-air gun that is, you know, they put these things on like
warships.
Yeah. Literally what they do. That's very funny. I like that. I hope that synced up. But yes, this is stuff that they fight Godzilla with. That's what he put on here. So it's very funny that he has this, first of all. And he's okay to use it with aliens. It's totally fine. But he put a GD cannon on the Batmobile. And we'll see some shots that parallel some shots in Dawn of Justice later on. But he's going in full guns blazing. And like his Batsuit, there are armor pieces put on the Batmobile that weren't on there in Dawn of Justice. I believe so. Unless I'm forgetting that he had these armor pieces to get through like the boat in the dock scene. I'm not quite sure if they were there as well. But you could definitely tell that this thing's been enhanced. It's a Justice League Batmobile that's built to fight aliens, apparently. The action itself is interesting to be kind of like, okay, we're in this battle. Like, this is the third act. Like, this is stuff that I've wanted to see. I kind of saw some of this in the theatrical cut, but I'm seeing it now and I'm still kind of excited. Like, I'm watching the Snyder cut, right? And so I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, cool. We're kind of setting up the action. We knew it was going to be hard to kind of penetrate this fortress with all these parademons. But we're, you know, Batman's fighting through it. He's fighting through all of this pressure to kind of pull the aggro of all these parademons. I like that idea. I think it's a little too red. I think the laser beams are a little too big. Like, projectiles are too big.
From the parademons.
We have the fire. We have the Russian ruins.
Yeah.
I think the projectiles of the parademons are a little too big. Like, they're, it's this hot red, very bright red that, like, comes through. And I think sometimes it kind of overwhelms the screen with the action.
Yeah, and they're like Roman candles getting launched at you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Like little Roman candles, like fireworks being shot. I love the turret that the parademon is shooting from. I think it's cool to show kind of what the armory is for the parademons who are like defending.
Yeah.
I kind of like this as like a actual battlefield. Of like we set up defenses, we've got a fort going on, you know, this guy's trying to rush in through the battlefield like he's on a, you know, a knight on a horse kind of situation. I like this concept. I just think that there needs to be a little bit more clarity. And I'm definitely not asking for more color because we've seen that with the theatrical cut. Adding more color and contrast won't help this situation. I think it just needs to be tighter with the projectiles to not overwhelm the screen so much. A good example is, of course, Attack of the Clones, the Clone War battle on Geonosis. Those blaster bolts are very thin, and there's plenty of them, but they don't overwhelm the screen because they are moving so thinly that it's like, okay, we know that there's a lot of projectiles, but it's not overwhelming. Because they're all aimed at this Batmobile, which is the center focus. So when you have all these projectiles that are big trying to hit the center of the screen, it's like, okay, well, it's a little too much. And then, of course, the Batmobile itself is also shooting a lot of projectiles back, kind of like in the same direction, just in reverse. So I think as far as like being clean, it's like, oh, it's a little chaotic compared to the dock scene in Dawn of Justice, which didn't have as much projectiles as we see here, because obviously when Batman did choose to fire the any weaponry from the Batmobile, it was done shortly, and it like neutralized any of the henchmen that were escorting the Kryptonite, the White Portuguese, whatever you want to call the code word for it.
Yeah.
And so,
but it was all bullets.
It was bullets, but it, I think because it was practical stuff, like what's the fireworks called that you, take off the target lock? Man, I'm forgetting this word.
What?
So when he has like a solar flare that like comes out. And like it disrupts the targeting of
chaff missiles.
Chaff, yeah. Yeah. So he has that, and like the bullets from the vehicles, it doesn't seem like as sci-fi as this, right? So it's very minimal.
Yeah,
it's a lot tighter, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree
in some sense.
I think in my mind, I think I'm just like obvious or just automatically thinking that like, oh, this time he put in like armor piercing tracer rounds, so we can actually just see them and they got sparks and whatnot. But also it's a movie and sparks look really cool. The thing going to say about the parademons guns and rifles and their beams and stuff like that, it seems like they're like it's the same like energy as like the Kryptonian rifle. This one's just red. Kryptonian one was blue. So that's kind of like a cool, you know, good guys versus bad guys, G.I. Joe versus Cobra Commander kind of thing. You know, they got the red bullets, they got the blue bullets, Star Wars as well. So that's pretty neat. But it seems to be that they're just, you know, pure energy. or plasma or something of the sort.
Yeah.
But that's just, I guess, you know, it could be universal. Like, yeah, again, he was making his gauntlets out of, like, armor pieces and absorbing, energy-absorbing things from Kryptonian tech. It's like, wouldn't you also think that, oh, this should work up against Apocalypton tech as well? So then, like, outfit the Batmobile with all these other energy-absorbing plates.
Absorb the Air Demon energy.
Yeah.
And shoot it back at them.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
I mean,
I like that.
Maybe that was supposed to happen later on.
Yeah, later on. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. Like, I think because I'm watching it again and the cannon, the 40 millimeter anti-air gun, I believe he's taken the passenger seat out.
Yes. I remember talking about that a long time ago with you.
Yeah.
Because we made a point to see if there was a passenger seat in Dawn of Justice. And I think there was at one point, but then...
There was for a certain Boy Wonder.
Yeah, and then it switched to the single seat or something like that. Or at least for that shot of them standing up and facing each other. It was like, okay, put in the...
Yeah, and he's obviously like
sitting
or... sitting on the headrest to stand up so that he's at height level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this that thing's got a freaking... That's a cannon on this gun. And we don't get to see it in use yet, right? He uses it up like in Tomorrow's Minute or something.
Yeah. I was going to joke about the Batmobile having hydraulics, and then I see it do the little wheelie. And I was like, oh, wait, maybe I should have said that earlier, because we were talking about all the things that Batmobile should have.
I mean, it does the wheelie because it's just a speed boost, and it's like
it's hitting the NOS, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be funny if it did that just because the cannon was going off. Every time the cannon goes off, it just throws the caboose, you know, downwards.
Yeah, it'd be wild if like he gets a bigger cannon and has to get like those stabilizing, you know, like what utility trucks have when they come out, and it's like the metal beam that digs into the ground.
Oh, that would... I like
that's
that.
That's like Gundam. That's like the ground types when they have to set up. Gundam.
They have to like plant into the ground before they fire something off. And or even Evangelion, right? When they do like the sniper.
Oh, yeah.
Eva 00, I think, has the sniper and has to like plant into the ground.
Yeah, like braces itself.
Yeah. That's the only thing missing. It's like how much more anime could this get with being Gundam? But yes, it's. What do you think about the Parademon chase itself? Like with the, because we get a little slow-mo comic book shot with one of the Parademons, like I think like a lone Parademon, shouldering the Batmobile, and so we get a little cool like slow-mo shot. What's your take on that one? You think
I like it all, you know, like this sequence here makes me forget about the past 2 days of us questioning why Batman is doing a suicide run on his own, because if he didn't, then we wouldn't get this cool sequence, and I am picking this cool sequence over kind of everything else. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Even from a Batman perspective, logically, like you're essentially just punching a hole in their defenses, right? You're running the tank in so you can hit the wall and just make a hole for the rest of the team to flow in, or the rest of the army to flow in. Everybody else can fly, or something of the nature that you just dropped off 10 miles away. And again, it's just like, why? Like, see it in a couple minutes where everybody joins up and they're flying next to the Batmobile, and it's like, yeah, you're right. You could have done that like 10 minutes ago.
I still think that this could have been a moment that the Justice League were still already here and not coming to his rescue in a way that the movie portrays it.
Yeah.
You could still have, like we said, you could have had the splash page moment in this minute as the Batmobile pops out the Flying Fox, And then they go do their thing, and then this is Batman doing his thing. So he's got them.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, I'll take all the parademons. They'll follow the Batmobile. You guys just go ahead and start the charge now that you're inside the arena. So you guys go ahead. I'll take care of this. So yeah. So this here is him doing that. And then on top of that, I think it's what am I trying to say? This is that moment. Just do that.
Yeah, this is like the perfect spot for it. We'll have to see at the end of this sequence how many minutes it was of like just the show off the Batmobile for this movie. Because if it is like 6 or 7 minutes, and then later on, like next week, when we do get the rest of the team still flying in tandem with the Batmobile, mm-hmm. it's kind of just like, you know, I hate to say, there's been times in this movie that you could have, you know, not done slow motion to lessen the time, or, you know, this scene could have not been here because, you know, whatever. Yeah, we could
shorten it just a little bit.
Yeah. I think this is one of those moments that we're having here, but it's a very strong argument of, well, this is the Batmobile minutes. Like, this is that. It looks cool. Yeah. So it works. But also, next week, it's going to be the same exact thing. It's just the whole team's going to be there, and then you're a Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, was 5 minutes of it not happening, so what the heck was that?
It's also a paying respect to this certain vehicle itself, like this Batmobile. By being in here again, it's like, okay, we've solidified this is the Batmobile of this era.
Yeah.
Because I was also thinking, obviously the Flying Fox came and went, did its one job, which was just to crash into something. And then the Nightcrawler felt like it could have used some redemption. So that was the other thing I was going to say, is that like,
yeah,
did it have to be this Batmobile? Like, what about if the Nightcrawler Flying Fox is, it's too slow, but it's also a big tank. And then I'm also thinking, well, he wanted the Dark Knight Returns tank, and he kind of shows that later in this movie, but why not just also show it with the Bat tank and do this with the Bat tank? That would have been pretty cool to see.
Since we're talking about the Nightcrawler, I was just on whatever page I was on, and I was scrolling down, and I saw that, and I don't know if we ever mentioned this, Thomas Wayne actually designed the Nightcrawler for use in World War II. In this universe.
I did not know that.
I did not know that either. I saw that and I was like, what? That's cool.
Where the sources on that?
Yeah.
World War II.
A Wikipedia.
That checks out, right?
Something.
World War II. And he was Bruce Wayne, 1984, was it? That he was 10 years old? So it was 1970. Parents? I don't know. I don't know. Parents were... Let's see, and BVS says, I'm older now than my father ever was. And so it's like, what, you're 44? And your dad would have been 40. So it's taken... Was it 40 in 1907? No, 1980. No, his dad would have just been born around World War II. I don't know that he...
So that doesn't make sense now.
Am I wrong? I'm trying
to
think.
No, I think you're more right than whatever I read, and it was on like an extended wiki page.
Yeah.
So you sure that's just somebody blowing smoke.
The Nightcrawler doesn't seem like something built for World War II. That doesn't even look like
it seems II. No, yeah, you're right. It seems more like the engineering was there for a World War I trench warfare type of machine.
I would
crawling
say,
over like, the trenches and stuff instead of, you know, because they had to have weird rectangular tanks.
This movie has big Russian like aesthetic feels sometimes that I've always really liked. If you would have told me like the Nightcrawler was built during the Cold War or something, I'd believe that. I'd be like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'd give you that.
And it would have fit with the time.
Yeah, and it probably would have fit with the Metropolis project. Been like, oh, look, birds of a feather. We built a Metropolis project. It failed at the same time Wayne Aerospace was building this Nightcrawler. And they fit.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Makes more sense than a silly, why aren't, this is a thing. Someone's going to be yelling on, why aren't you doing the Wikipedia page? Because I try to have a life.
I've talked about this. Yeah, I've talked, I don't get, hey, if you're a wiki moderator, I guess kudos to you. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping things up to date. Hopefully you fact check this one that we just found. But boy, wiki moderators, wiki contributors.
I pay my
$2 a month to support Wikipedia, but I definitely do not upkeep the articles. That seems like a nightmare.
It's the most
stressful job. Yeah. One other note I have, I did talk about the turret. I think it's important to also note that the ammunition for the turret is coming from the chemical plant. So it's or chemical plant, whatever you want to call it. The reactor. Reactor number 4, whatever this DC equivalent of, where the Unity is happening.
Yeah.
And it's battering, the battery is powering the shield dome and the tower. They're using it to power the ammunition of the turret, which I think is very cool. Very cool idea.
And you're using context clues because you see, like, the little waves of, you know, EMP pulses charging up that laser and stuff like that. So is that, so it's Apocalypton tech, right? It's not just the mother boxes. I guess the mother boxes, you know.
Yeah, he put two
mother boxes in and it started to build. Well,
he's got
the
three
organic.
Now.
Yeah, well, now he has three. Yeah. And now they're starting to join in, you know, in Unity. But just for power output.
Every time you say it, I think of the song.
You just like Operation Ivy? Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So yeah, just to power the tech, you have to have the mother box.
I see what you're saying. And maybe they don't anymore. Maybe because they when they first put the first mother box in, it gave them the tools they needed to transmutate the reactor into something Apocalypton that they can then use. So they did one transmutation. It's not like they had to keep the transmutation circle there, right? So they got, it's like almost like one of those mobile games where you build like the dwarf mine and it like helps you build like your barracks
sure.
and stuff. Like
yeah.
They built the generator and now they're good. The generator's been built. As long as Batman doesn't destroy the generator, you can keep your level 1 farm or whatever the hell this game is.
That was a good that's a good reference. Good job on that one.
Yeah. And so it is Apocalypton now, but it's not Motherbox powered anymore. The Motherbox was just to create the Apocalypton terrain. That then they build a cannon off of.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I get it now. It
the Parademons are playing a tower defense game is what's what's going on.
Yeah.
And they're having to face against a 5-star level 60 Batman in a Batmobile is what's going on.
Yeah.
You can download it now on your anti phone.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's good. All in all, I think this whole rest of this Batmobile sequence makes up for, at least for me, it makes up for the illogical part of the plan that Batman is going for on his own and didn't tell anybody about.
Yeah.
It makes up for it because it's cool. You get to show off all the guns and everything. And yeah,
there's a reason he cut the comms, and there's a reason Alfred isn't having any dialogue in this scene. It's because he would have been yapping in his ear the entire time saying, this is stupid. Why do out of all that we planned for, Bruce, why this? Why was this the choice? And sometimes you just gotta be Batman. You just gotta be the Batmobile Batman. Who does really good Batmobile comic moments? I'm trying to think of
when Batman, you saw a cool
Batman and Robin with Damian Wayne.
Yeah. The Grant Morrison Batman Robin run has some really. Is that one? No.
But who's okay? Is it Frank Quietly in that one? But then
mostly, and then they do switch up a little bit, but mostly Quietly. But then there was New 52, Batman and Robin.
Yes, but who's that artist?
Was it Fabic? Jason Fabic, maybe? Can't remember. Tomasi? Ooh. Maybe Pete Tomasi.
That sounds right.
So those, I think, I like those a lot because they did a lot of interior windshield panels of the Batman, of the two of them sitting together, and it's all red.
Yeah.
And it looks cool as hell, and you're like,
that's what I'm trying to get
to. I'm in a red Batman. Like, I'm in the red Batmobile, the low light inside. That's peak Batmobile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of what I wanted to like lean into here as we kind of start looking here. Obviously because of the design of the Batmobile, it's got the roll cage built into it. It's a very usable car. Like this is the first time a Batmobile is fully usable. Whereas like the Dark Knight Tumbler could only go forward.
Yeah.
This is a fully drivable vehicle and it has the roll cage, so it can do some crazy stuff without injuring anyone who's actually driving it. But then that's also part of the aesthetic. You also see it in the Batmobile in the Batman. It has a roll cage in it as well. So here though, because of that, it's a lot tighter, right? You don't get that roomier space like you do when you read Batman and Robin. But there is a good shot here where it's kind of over the shoulder of Batman, so you kind of see the control panel, the dashboard, and you kind of see out the window. You can see how narrow it is, but it's like being inside of a tank or Dodge Challenger, if I could say.
Yeah. Yeah, you would know. Which is insane. Yeah, because it's just, that's really, the field of view is like nothing.
You can't see anything.
You're just flying on sensors, and it's like, wait, whoa, hang on, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. That's why I think we'll get to a point where like rear view mirrors will be screens or cameras, because I mean, sometimes you just can't see it. I'm speaking specifically with like Challengers and Dodge vehicles. Apparently, I don't understand why they all have like these tiny windshields. But I think in Dawn of Justice, right, when he does the harpoon off the back of the car, there's a camera in the back, isn't there?
Yeah,
yeah. So
because then and a camera in the front and the back, because he does, you know, the calculations on what you're going to be hitting.
What do you think about the goggles now that he's in the Batmobile?
I'm getting used to them, and that's what I remember thinking when I first watched this movie. At first, I was just like, I don't like them. It's just too high up on your head and all this stuff and airplane mode and all that, everything. It's like I'm getting used to them because we're actually in the battle. And it's not so much as facial expressions that we're like looking for in Batman here in this moment versus when, you know, a lot of times in Dawn of Justice, when, you know, especially fighting Doomsday, we got some really good facial expressions.
Yeah, we did.
Matching his eyes and the cowl, and, you know, even with the suit on, with the lights and everything behind the eyes, we got really good reactions from Ben Affleck. This one, it is just like pilot in a cockpit. So, you know, the goggles are fine.
One of the things I really like about Batman, and obviously, you know, we've talked about it so many times, but it's the teeth gritting. Gritting your teeth.
Yeah.
Batman does it a lot, iconically. Ben Affleck does it really well as Batman. He's, obviously, we see that in Dawn of Justice. You see it starting to happen in this one, but it's, you know, it's one of the only facial expressions he can make now because the eyes are covered. But he does it really well when he's in the armored bat suit in Dawn of Justice, like fighting Superman. And here, I think that would be like the only thing it's like that I really like. As far as like, it seals the deal of like, this is a cool Batman minute when you have Batman in the Batmobile. It's gritting his teeth. He's firing those guns and he's like trying to get through this and it's stressful. When he's like totally in control and he's like feeling calm and cool is when I kind of feel like it's boring, but I like it when he's stressed.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
I think that's what it is that like really punches it in. It's like, yeah, look like you're actually under fire. And like that's what's awesome. It's the same thing when we talk about Wonder Woman in No Man's Land, and she's like going through and she's like running over the trenches, and then they get the heavy machine gun and they're firing at her, and then she's like got the shield up. That moment is like, yeah, look at how like stressed she is as she's like defending herself with the shield and all these bullets are raining down on her. Like, that's awesome. I've always liked that idea. And so here with the Batmobile, it's like when he's like starting to be like, this is a lot to take. That's when I'm like, this is really cool. I like that shot.
I'll second that thought with incorporating Boy Scout, Superman, specifically in Man of Steel, when he's holding up the oil rig from crashing down on the helicopter. And it's, again, we go back to the physical set with him just holding on to that I-beam and just flexing his muscles and using really good facial expression acting. It's really like that put you in the moment, even though nothing is happening and we're all just in a green screen and in a studio and stuff. But the ability that these actors have to really fall into the whole make-believe mindset, it's impeccable. I think the main thing, what gets me every single time about seeing Batman, no matter what, especially behind a cowl, and especially this Batman, Ben Affleck's Batman, is his chin. And, you know, even Zack Snyder said it, said, thank you for lending me your chin. You got the best chin for a Batman. And he does. He really does. So when you bring in that teeth gritting and the stressful and his real cool voice modulated ahs and ohs, like, yeah, dude, you are playing the role. You are embodying the action figures that I've had since I was a child. So thank you again.
All right, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.